It's Citywide Blackout, the podcast that brings you the best music, movies, and more from around the world. I'm your host, Max Bowen. On this week's show, folks, we're going back to my home turf of Boston, Mass, to chat with musician Lena Cooper, and there's so much to go over here, whether it's her time at the Berklee College of Music, performing here in the city, or working on her new album, Damned. She's been doing a lot since coming to Boston just a short time ago. Welcome back, everyone, to Citywide Blackout, your home for music, movies, and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Max Bowen, and this week I am chatting with, she is a resident of a city near and dear to my heart. I'm talking to singer-songwriter Lena Cooper, all the way from Boston. Lena, welcome to the show. It's awesome to talk to you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
All right. And you are actually coming to us from the Berklee College of Music, which is where you're a student at. So if you folks can hear some kind of noise in the background, that's just all the students doing their thing, making the music, making it happen. So what do you take at Berklee? What's your major?
Okay, so I'm a double major with a minor, which is just like easier to kill yourself than do that. But
I'd agree, yes.
It's the first major is contemporary writing and production, which is like arranging and producing. And the second major is songwriting, which is just like easy breezy, very fun. And a minor in conducting, which is...
Okay.
Great.
And what led you to take this leap of academic adventure?
Like, Berklee in general has been my dream since I came here for a summer program, which I just fell in love with Berklee. I came here for a 5-week summer program, just 5 weeks living in a dorm, like experiencing this college life. And I was like, I want to do that. I definitely want to do that. And I've been writing songs since I was 9. So, and I was like, oh my God, you can have a career writing songs? What? And since then I was like, I definitely want to come here and study songwriting. But then I came here and I was like, oh, there's like so much more.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Than songwriting. I want to do production. I want to do arranging. I want to do songwriting. I want to do conducting. I want to do performing. Like everything at the same time.
Okay. So, was it hard to narrow the field down to decide what you want to major in? Did you kind of go back and forth on what you want to focus on?
Oh, definitely. I even made like, I'm pretty sure I have OCD. So I made like lists of like, just like pros and cons of like, of this, of every major. And I was like, okay, so these are like 5 majors that I'm definitely interested in. Then I narrowed it down to like, I'm like, why can't it be a triple major? So I was just, okay, like,
I mean,
it's fine.
You could try that, but then we would never see you again.
Yeah, true. So I just narrowed it down to double majoring. And I was like, you know, CWP is like arranging and producing together.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like 2 majors and 1. And songwriting is, they talk a lot about performing. So I'm like, you know, songwriting, and then I'll be performing by myself.
Nice.
I don't think you can really teach performing unless you're performing a lot.
I agree with that. I think it's a hard thing to teach because either you can do it or you can't. And I don't think you know if you can do it until you actually get out there and perform, because there's so many things you got to think about. There's like the between song banter, how you handle hecklers or people who are just kind of like ignoring you, you know, how you work the crowd. There's a million things to do. So yeah, I think a class in performing is probably teach you something, but there's probably you need to get out there and actually perform to really learn the stuff.
Definitely. Like you can give some tips like on performing, but you can't like teach someone how to perform if you don't have it in your blood. So
exactly.
I definitely agree.
Plus I think everyone's experience is kind of unique to them. You know, if you took like 10 musicians, put them in a room and say, okay, give me your first show story, they'd all be 10 very different, very like different stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of which, what was your first show like?
Oh, geez. Like, I used to be a classical guitar player in high school.
Huh.
So I went to a special music boarding school where like it's all classical musicians. So my first performances were in classical guitar, and I was just like, why am I doing this? Like, I don't want to be doing this. So every time I would go up on stage, I'm like, I'm not even sure if I remember what I'm playing. Sometimes, like, I remember I had, like, a performance where I was supposed to play, like, a Bach prelude or something, and I completely forgot the piece, and I just made it up on the spot. Like, I think that that's what was there, like something like this. And obviously my professor, she was like, well, thank Lord no one knew the piece.
Hey,
because I noticed what you played, I'm pretty sure no one else did. So I was like, okay, great, amazing.
Hey,
no one noticed.
There you go.
Yeah, my first performances were there, like on classical guitar, but like actual performances with like performing my music in a band. The first performance was okay-ish, but then like, you know, with every performance, it was just getting like better and better, and the crowd was like more involved with me and everything. So I enjoyed it way more than playing classical music. Yeah, I enjoy it more and more with every performance till this day.
Okay. Where have you performed so far?
So I started performing my stuff in Boston. I've never really performed like concerts back home, which is Ukraine. And here at first I was like, I started out playing house shows, which is, you know, just like an underground Boston music scene,
oh, sure.
Which is very fun because like people actually come, you know, to see, I don't know, you know, like real musicians. I don't know how to explain it, but it's very different from like regular shows.
Oh yeah.
I've actually been
to a number of house shows. It's a really fun experience. The place is usually packed. Everyone wants to be there. It's a really good time.
It's very like cozy and very emotional. Like you can see the artist so close. Like he's right there. Like you can literally just like make a step and touch the artist. Like he or she are there, like right there. And they're like, you know, I always tell like stories about every song and house shows and like, and because everyone is listening to you and it's not just like a random bar that like people went there just to like eat and drink and see their friends, and you're just an artist, like random girl that's playing on stage, and like, who are you even? Like, who is someone? Oh, someone's paying you. Cool. Kind of. But I've performed at different bars and pubs, but this October is going to be amazing because I've gigs booked at like the Middle East and the Jungle.
Nice.
Midway Cafe, like a lot of really cool venues, which is amazing. I'm very, very excited.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, is this the Middle East upstairs or down?
So I'm playing Zuzu on October 2nd, and I'm playing Corner Middle East on October 26th.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. Yeah. I've been to the Middle East for countless shows, and it's an awesome venue. Upstairs, down, Corner, Zuzu, they're all great. So awesome for you.
Now, yeah, thank you. I'm really excited.
We can hear the kids in the background.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
It's also freshmen. Like when you're a senior, you're just like I
want to be done.
Anymore.
Can I go home? Want to go home?
Yeah.
Where are you at in terms of school? Are you like a sophomore or junior?
I'm a senior.
So you're almost done.
Yeah, almost done. Like two more semesters. Actually, like one and a half, because the last one's like a couple credits.
So. All right. Yeah. Do you think you might continue on, maybe go for like another degree or graduate school?
I was thinking of getting like a graduate degree in conducting because I'm taking a minor and I loved conducting. But then I just looked at the requirements and I'm like, I'm not going to a graduate school. Prices, no. The requirements, the timing, locations, no.
Yeah, just no.
Just no, no.
No, it's... Hey, well, you know, there's no better way to learn than by doing. I think that's experience is the best teacher. Get out there, do some shows, see what you want to do. Would you say you're more... like self-taught in terms of your work, or do you think you really learn primarily through your stuff in the classroom?
I definitely think I'm more self-taught in the things that I do, like
sure.
Songwriting, like even like sight reading. I remember my mom plays piano, and she just like literally wrote out like how to, like a manual, how to sight read, and I taught myself how to sight read off what she wrote. And then like songwriting, like I was just like, one day I listened to a song, I don't remember what it was, and I was like, why can't I do that? Like I should just like go ahead and write a song. Like it was obviously a very crappy song that I wrote, but I just like kept on writing and kept on kind of like improvising and just like working on my craft. It was mostly no one ever taught me how to write or how to perform or how to no one ever taught me how to sing. Like
wow.
I never had really vocal classes. I had guitar classes, I had piano classes, I never had like singing classes. So that, yeah, definitely more self-taught in the things that I do a lot.
That's very impressive. Where has college filled in the gaps for you, though? What do you think this has really helped you?
Oh, definitely arranging and production. Jesus, I would have never learned any of the DAWs by myself. I'm terrible with technology, computers. Oh, I just hated And here, like, professors were like, no, you have to do it. It's very useful. It will help you. And I'm like, okay, so actually, yeah, now I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm good. I would say I'm not bad at, like, Logic or Pro Tools. So that was very helpful. Very helpful. And arranging, obviously.
What do you think you're going to be focusing on after you're done college? You know, I mean, we're obviously a ways away, months away. But once you're done, what are your plans for yourself?
Well, so basically, me and my roommates, who are also Berklee students, also musicians,
nice.
Great performers, the three of us, their names are like my drummer and my guitar player. It's Will Weil is my drummer, and he's also a producer and a mixing engineer, amazing mixing engineer and amazing drummer. And Misha Bogomolov, who is my guitar player, and he's also a songwriter and like a music video director. Like amazing guys, and we're planning on moving to New York and kind of like starting like we're trying to get somewhere there by like once again performing, writing music, producing, arranging, like all, just like getting paid by doing music. That's the goal. Doesn't matter what like what it is, you know, like writing for other people, writing for yourself, performing, like doesn't matter.
Wow. All right. I like this. It's ambitious. So you're just making the jump immediately over to New York. That's what a lot of folks do, actually, in Boston. They move on to, like, New York, L.A., Nashville, Austin. There's always that desire to kind of spread out and explore the different aspects of the nation's music community.
I've heard, like, we even had a lot of discussions, like, just this week, there were at least two classes where we discussed, you know, like, the benefits and, like, the negative aspects of moving to, like, L.A., New York, Nashville, and Atlanta. There was, like, the four main cities that Berklee people move to.
Hmm.
And I just, like, I don't like L.A. I'm sorry, California people. I'm happy for your weather, but I'm the East Coast girl. I need the cold. I need the, like, down to business. I'm getting up at 7 a.m., going to work, getting my coffee. Like, now, like, just doing what I have planned. In California, I feel like people, like, get up at 9 a.m., like, oh, I'm going to get my coffee and chat, like, chat with a bartender because, like, I have nothing until noon. And then, like, I don't know, night party life or something like this. When in New York, you're like, you have no time.
No.
Like, everyone's, like, passing you. No one cares about you. No one cares about you. So, like, you have to do something. You have to have a plan.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, here, East Coast, 5 in the morning, you're up and you're off to work.
Because a commuter rail or whatever, you're in Brooklyn, but your job is in Manhattan. Like,
yeah.
Where in Boston, like, you live in Worcester, your job is in Back Bay. Like, no. Like, get up. 5 a.m., 6, you're on the train.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. What do you think you're going to be doing there? Will you be focusing more on performing? Do you think you'll be working with, like, trying to form, like, connections with the artist community there?
Well, that would be amazing. Like,
yeah.
If I could make my living off performing, that would be, like, the dream.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously everyone knows that it's very, very difficult. So if I could, like, I would be very happy writing music for other people. Like, I love arranging and writing songs. So if people need my music, I'm always there for it and ready to write for you, arrange for you, maybe produce for you, sing for you, open to all the opportunities, but hopefully performing.
Any Boston venues that you have not been booked to that you would like to play at before you make the big move?
There were a couple, like, I would love to play at So Far Boston. I've been stalking their page, just like cozy places that they, you know, booked for their performances and amazing artists, amazing atmosphere. Just like, you know, the crowd is very, very, like, it's just paying attention, very concentrated on every artist that's performing. Like, you know, they're there to see the performance, not to drink, not to eat, not to, like, hang out with their friends, but, like, they're there for the art. And I would love to play So Far Boston. And there's, like, a couple other, you know, like, little venues that I've been trying to talk to. Like, I think it was the Thunder Road, the Toad. Then what else? There's like a tiny dorm session. It's just like a new thing I discovered today. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but I think it's like acoustic shows or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's like a couple of venues like that I would love to play at before I move to New York.
Oh yeah. Toad is an awesome place. I've been there for many shows. It's really cool. It's a small place. I think capacity like around like 20 or 30 people. A great place for like the folk, the light rock, the singer-songwriters. I also highly recommend Plough and Star. That's in Cambridge.
Plough and Star.
If you're going down, I believe, Mass Ave towards Harvard Square, you're going to see it. It's a great little place, very similar to Toad. So that would be one to kind of add to the list, possibly. It's an awesome venue.
Amazing. I'm going to write it down, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
You got, yeah. You got like the bucket list of venues
to play at. I actually do.
Oh, my God. I'm not surprised. You seem like a very, very organized person.
I am. I think I was never diagnosed. I'm pretty sure I have OCD, and I'm happy that I do.
Yeah.
Because it helps me so much. Like I have to like organize everything in my little planner and like have everything, you know, planned out by a minute, like just like have it all together, you know, like list of venues, list of contacts, like all that stuff. I just love lists and organized things.
Mm. We're very much alike in that respect. I'm also like very, very organized, possibly potentially OCD too. But that's the only way I could get all this stuff done that I do between this and my job and everything else. I kind of have to have that very hour to hour kind of mindset.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Now, when it comes to your music, are you also that organized? You set like goals for yourself in terms of what you want to accomplish in a given 6 months or a year?
Well, honestly, I'm not trying. Like, I was never trying to really set a goal because every time I would, and it wouldn't come true, or like I wouldn't reach it, I would feel so heartbroken and so upset. Like, I'm, you know, like that's not what I should do. And then at some point, I was just like, you know, I'm not gonna set a timer on when I reach it. I'm just gonna set like one of my professors, Ben Camp, really helped me with that. He was like, okay, what's your biggest goal? I was like, let's say Gillette Stadium, you know, like a solo act with like no openers. Like, that's like the dream of the dream, you know, just like the highest you can go. But like, what is this? What is the step before? Like, oh, let's say Tita Garden. What is the step like before that one? And like, you kind of like go down this like staircase of goals, and you just get like, okay, at first I'm gonna play a house show, then I'm gonna play Toad, then I'm gonna play Middle East, then I'm gonna like be an opener at like Cafe 939 for like, or the Red Room, you know, and just like stuff like this. So I just try to like break down my little goals, you know, like, oh. Whatever, sell a million copies, like sell one copy at first, please, not to your mom doesn't count. Like, yeah, or like, you know, be played on the radio, and actually, you know, start with like a local free community radio, and then maybe, you know, in some time, and stuff like this. Yeah, just like setting little goals. I'm very organized at that. I just don't set timers on like when I reach them.
That's very smart, because I think the biggest mistake you can make is to say, okay, this has to be done by X date, because that will make you either rush it, in which case it's not going to be as good, or you're going to miss it and you're going to think, oh, I'm terrible, I'm the worst, I'm a lousy musician, I hate myself.
Yes,
it just kills your
and
confidence.
Artists hate themselves all the time. So.
You mentioned that you're originally from the Ukraine. And I read that you came to the U.S. when you were 17?
Yes, I was 17.
Okay. Yeah. What brought you here?
Berkeley. So, yeah, basically, okay. I came here for a summer program when I was 15. Then I came here again for another summer program when I was 16. At 16, like half a year later, after the summer program, I got accepted into Berkeley. And, I applied to one college. I only applied to Berkeley.
Oh, wow.
And that's it. And I was like, if I don't get into Berkeley, then I don't want to go anywhere else.
Huh.
I guess I'm just going to have like a gap year. So I was like, yeah, I just want to go there. So I got accepted. Thank the Lord.
Yes.
I still think it was a mistake. I was like checking my mailbox for a week. I'm like, I'm gonna get a letter that says, oh, we're sorry, like, but actually that letter was an accident.
It was to be sent to someone else.
Yeah, because like sometimes I remember I read like a story that something like a really big college sent out like almost 100 letters letters of acceptance by mistake, and I was terrified. I was terrified. I was like, what if Berkeley does it? Like, if that happened once, that may happen twice. Like, you never know.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Like, they'll say, oh, we actually made this to the extent that I'm a Gina Cooper. Sorry about that. Good luck somewhere else.
Yeah.
You're just left there like, what? What do I do now?
Yeah.
How are you finding Boston? I mean, was this like a big change for you coming from the Ukraine to here?
I mean, I've been to the U.S. before, so I kind of knew where I was going. But at the same time, like, living here, like, renting an apartment, getting a credit card, like, I don't know, paying for a phone, like, all that stuff that was so new. Like, I definitely like the East Coast people more than the West Coast, because I've been there, like, I've had a tour, and I went to, like, Arizona, Utah, California, Nevada, like, all these places, and Boston, I love Boston. Like, it's pretty boring, but for, like, when you're going to school, it works out just fine, because you don't want to go out at night, there's not a lot of things to do, but it's beautiful, and it's very, like, it has a great, like, art and culture scene. I mean, you know, like, museums, music, I don't know, like, all that stuff, I love it. And the nature is beautiful, and there's an ocean, and, like, the people as well. Love it.
Yeah.
And the food.
Oh, the food. Lord, the food. Have you been to Little Steve's Pizza?
That sounds so familiar.
It's, like, around the corner from Berkeley. If you go down, I think it's Boylston, towards the Back Bay area, it's on your left.
I think I know what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah, I've been there. I've definitely been there.
Yeah, that in my opinion, it's the best pizza in the whole city. I will challenge that. I'll challenge any other pizza place to beat them. I think they're the best.
Yeah, I love pizza, but I'm not such a huge fan just to judge. I just like any pizza. Literally any
Fair enough.
Pizza.
Yeah.
I'm there for, like, I'm here for it. Yes.
Okay. Cool. All right. I have, like, a million Boston questions for you, because I lived there for 8 years. Definitely. So I knew the city really well. What's your favorite place to go to just to go to a show? Not necessarily to play at, but just to go to, like, check out a show.
Okay, honestly, I have to admit, I, like, the only two types of shows I went to in Boston, like, one is, like, the huge concerts, like Taylor Swift playing the Gillette, or, like, Bruno Mars playing TD Garden, and house shows. Like, I never went to see, like, you know, kind of, like, a mediocre starting artist who's already somewhere but not really there. Like, I never went to see those artists. It's, like, either huge artists or, like, artists that I have no idea who they are, and I'm, like, I'm just going there. I'm like, I hope it's good.
Yeah. Hey, so, I did that plenty of times. Like, huh, okay, I like this place. It's Friday. I don't know who this person is, but what the hell? I'll check it out. And sometimes I say, well, that was a waste of my time. which is rare, frankly, but it has happened. But usually I just love the experience of going to a random show and saying, I have no idea who this person is. I'm going to check it out. And usually I'm like, yeah, that was pretty dope. I liked it.
Yeah. That happened. Like, I remember myself not liking a show just, like, only once. Once. I remember I went to the show and I was like, what the heck is that? Like, it was, like, psychedelic rock. And it, or not even rock. It was just, like, psychedelic music. And I was listening to it and I'm like, what is happening? Like, I literally couldn't just understand what was happening on stage. Like, what, you know, like, what tempo was that? Like, what key? Like, what time signature? What chords are they playing? And I'm a musician, and I couldn't get it. And I was just standing there, like, very confused. And that was the only show I ever, like.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully you'll get the chance to see some more before you move. Now have you actually been to New York prior to, like, now? Have you spent some time there?
Oh yeah. Like, I've been to New York, I think, like, 6 times,
okay,
and every
cool.
time for, like, a different reason. I've lived there for 1 month when I also went to, like, a summer program there when I was 14.
Oh, cool.
And then since then I've been just, like, visiting.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I'm really impressed at is your drive. You've been doing so much so soon, and you're still in college. Was this something that your family kind of, like, impressed upon you? Do they have a similar kind of work ethic?
Oh, my mom definitely does. Like, my mom's a workaholic. She is crazy. Like, no, I'm serious. Like, I remember the times, like, sometimes I'm talking to her and she's like, oh, I'm on my way to Odessa, or I'm on my way to Minsk, or I'm on my way to Vienna. And every time, like, every week she's, like, flying all over the place.
Nice.
And she's, like, always at work, and, you know, which it might be a sad thing, but, like, she didn't spend a lot of time with me in childhood. It was mostly my nanny, but I was fine with it. I was like, oh yeah, you go, like, you make a career, and, like,
yeah.
Just, like, she inspired me so much throughout my whole life. And I feel like I'm kind of like going after her, that like strong, independent woman.
Go get it, mom, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. My mom's just like a superwoman.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Now, do you also come from a musical family? Do you have like, does your mom play or your dad?
Yeah, definitely not. My mom went to a music school and hated it. She never played piano since she grew, like, she, like finished her classes. She was like, never am I ever going to pick up that instrument. My dad, he has no ears. Like, so, like, neither my grandparents do that. Like, no one is a musician. No one is a person of art in general. Like, just, like, no. It's, like, mostly, I don't know, like, accountants or engineers or even, like, my dad used to be a professor. And then he worked in the Ministry of Coal Industry. Hmm. And I'm just, like, ow. Like, my head hurts just by you saying this word.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you guys are doing this.
So you're kind of the rebel of the family.
Yeah, kind of. Definitely. Yeah. But my parents were so supportive, which surprised me.
Nice.
Yeah, they were like, yes, absolutely. You want to go to Berkeley? You're going to go to Berkeley. Like, yes, definitely.
Cool.
If you get in, we're gonna send you there. And I was like, okay, amazing.
Awesome. Thanks, Mom. Yes, yes. Well, that's also pretty hard, too, because I think when a lot of folks, the people that I've spoken to, when they tell their family, I want to be a musician, they say, okay, but what are you really going to do for a job? What's your real job going to be?
That's what my grandparents are like. They don't think it's a real job. And like, I remember like on my first Christmas break, I came home from Berkeley and my granddad was like, oh, so like you're going to college now, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what are you studying? I'm like, you know, like whatever, I'm studying music. And he's like, oh, cool. But, like, what are you actually studying? And I'm like, music. And he's like, okay, but what's going to be your real job? I'm like, I'm a musician. Like, you're funny. Okay, whatever.
One more time, like, Granddad. I am a musician.
Yeah, and he I don't think he still thinks that it's a real job and I'm going to do it for, like, a living.
It's a hard thing to do for a living. I mean that's a reality. It's certainly a challenge. There's a lot of folks out there who went into it with a lot of gusto, and you know, it works out for some, doesn't for others. But I think you get out of it what you put into it. And in your case, you've got everything planned out. I see no reason why it can't work for you.
Well, you know, my professors always said that it's like this, like musical success is like a mixture of talent, hard work, and luck. And if you don't have one of these components, like one of these ingredients, it might just not work out. Sometimes you have to be at the right place, the right time, with the right person, you know, just like ready to go. You always have to be ready for all the opportunities that come your way.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might be just like not there.
Yeah,
to catch it. But hopefully, sending positive energy into the universe, I am ready and I'm ready for work.
There you go.
I'll be there.
I also think an important thing is to be flexible. Work the opportunities that you have, even if they're not exactly what you want to do. You may say, okay, this is a thing. It's not what I want to do, but it's close enough and I can kind of work with it. So there's a lot of options out there. You just got to be willing to just take what's kind of coming your way instead of waiting for that perfect situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that.
All right. So let's talk about your music. I've been checking a lot of it out. I totally dig it.
Thank you.
And you are working on an album right now, right? I read that.
Yes, I am. I am working on an album.
All right. It's called Damned.
Yes, it's called Damned. And basically, it's going to be a concept record. Because I'm in love with concept records. Well, like an album has an aesthetic and a theme and like, it's a story, like a whole story of all the tracks, you know, like it's just, it has a style. I'm in love with that. Like one of my favorite albums of all times is Melodrama by Lorde. And I think it's a genius record. And, basically it inspired a lot of, like themes for my record and my record. Musically, it's a mixture of like electronic and like pop indie alternative music and orchestral music. So for the past 3 months, I've been recording like crazy instruments like tuba, trumpet, bass, trombone, flute, oboe, clarinet, double bass, cello strings, you know, like all that stuff. the only last instruments to record are harp and electric guitar, which is weird.
Okay.
I know it sounds like, what is that going to sound like? But I promise it's going to sound very cool. So that's the musical idea. But the actual, like, idea, like, lyrical and thematical of the idea of the album is the all the songs are a track-by-track story about the relationship that I've had. And it's like the first song is like an opening to, you know, like, oh, this is how I am. And you, you know, whatever, like look something like I was what I was looking for. The second song is like how the relationship starts, then how I fall in love and how the relationship gets like more deep, like it gets deeper and more emotional. And then there's like a fight. And what's the problem of this whole relationship? What's the drama? And then like we break up and then how I go through that breakup. And then there's like an ending of realizing that, you know, like I finally let go and like this is how and this is why. And the most interesting thing that some people may find creepy, but I still think it's interesting, I am using the actual voice memos, like voice messages of the person who I wrote an album about in every song. And it's like actual voice memos that he would send to me when we would talk.
Wow.
Just like in voice messages. And in like almost every song, except for like two tracks, because they like I didn't want the voice memos in there. Every song has a bit of like his voice saying something in the period of time where like whatever I'm singing about was happening. I've been gathering my energy, and 1 year and a half later since I like got this idea, I asked him if I could use it, and he said yes.
Wow.
So, yes, it's gonna be there. Very interesting.
That's so cool. So you're putting everything out there. Your entire experience with this person's all going out there.
Yeah. Wow. I'm scared.
Really?
Yeah, because it was some not, like, I wouldn't say that a lot of things that we did were very right and moral. Like, a lot of things that we did, we probably shouldn't have done. And I'm talking, like, I'm speaking about, like, just, like, moral stuff, you know?
Sure, sure, sure.
So, yes, putting it out is probably going to be, like, I'm not sure if I want people to know that I did that, but I did that, and it's, like, true, and it's what this experience was like. So there you go. Maybe someone can relate and feel the same thing that I felt.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, you know, listening, you describing like the, like I've been there. I've done that thing before. I think a lot of the listeners are going to say, yep, that's exactly where I was with, you know, so-and-so. It totally reminds you of that
Hopefully.
Person.
That would be my dream if people listened and said that, thought that.
You mentioned that you actually approached this person. You asked them if you could use the memos, and they said yes. Was there any like back and forth between the two of you? Was there any like discussion? Were they initially hesitant about it?
Oh my God, it's an interesting story actually. So basically, when we broke up, which is it wasn't even an official relationship, so it didn't really break up, and we never fought. So the end of our relationship was just like one time I messaged him and I was like, hey, are you available today? And he was like, oh, I have a rehearsal. How about tomorrow? And I'm like, sure. And then we never messaged each other since.
Huh.
And for about 2 years, we were just straight up ignoring each other. Like when we would see each other on the street, it was just like, who are you? Like, I don't know you. You're a stranger. Just like, you know, you're taking the elevator. I'll take the stairs. Like you're walking down that side of the road. I'm not going to cross. Like, or stuff like this. So we would just like straight up ignore each other. And then so I wrote the record and I'm recording it, and my producer is like, you probably should ask him about the voice memos like right now before we start mixing it. And I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. So I did, and he was fine with it. And I was like, I was extremely worried. I was very emotionally connected and attached to that person, so it was very hard for me to like gather all my strength and be like, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna ask him out, I'm going to ask him about this whole thing. And when he said yes, he was just like, oh, hi, Paulina. Thank you for messaging me. Like, you know, I'm so glad that you did. Like, of course you can use it. I'm glad to be a part of your project. That's it. And I was like, okay, thank you.
Wow.
And then he sends me like this huge message saying how sorry he was that he like ignored me. And how every time he would pass me on the street, he would feel like very like terrible and stuff. Like basically everything I felt, and I thought that I did it. I was like, I thought I was ignoring you, and I thought that I did a very bad thing, and like I thought I was the reason this whole thing happened. So basically, like, my producer literally, when he saw my face go from, like, very happy to just, like, straight up crying. And I was just like, I don't even know how to explain this. It was just, like, happy, but, like, very sad tears at the same time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We were working on the record at the, like, when I asked him about, you know, using his voice memos. And, yeah, after that, we kind of had a thing. It was not, like, it never became anything. We just, like, we decided to meet up, and we never did. And then we decided to meet up again, and then we never did. And then also I found out he had a girlfriend, and I was like, these are, you know, it's a mess. And the song about this whole situation of him, of me building, like, high hopes and finding out that he has a girlfriend is going to be in a new song that's going to come out before the album. Called Imagination. And it's like, I have a good imagination. That's the main line of the song.
Wow. Well, I gotta say, I'm really impressed with this guy's maturity, because, like, it'd be so easy to be petty and be like, oh, the hell with you. No, you can't use him, and just totally, like, derail the project, really. But
yeah.
That's, you know, props to the guy. I'd have to say props to him for that.
He's even though he might have done some, like, immoral or bad or, like, not really good things, I still think he's an amazing person, amazing musician. And, like, honestly, I'm so, so, so thankful that he gave me permission to use all of this, because it makes the album so much more personal, like, due to these voice memos. So, yes, he's absolutely, he is mature. I agree.
This album sounds like a really awesome thing. Now, I was curious also, given that it's like a concept album, so it falls out like the story, did this require a lot of going back and tweaking things so that it all kind of followed the right path?
It did. Like, I did tweak, like, some arrangements. For example, there's, like, this one leitmotif I tried to use in every song. you're probably going to hear it, or not going to hear it, because it's hidden in a lot of, like, musical places. I was going back to arrangements. I was going back. We used a lot of samples. Like, sometimes I would be, like, in the car, like, listening to something in the in my headphones. And then I was like, oh my God, this sounds so cool. It would fit in, like, that song perfectly. And then I would come back to my producer and be like, we need to redo this. Or, like, we need to record more back vocals. We need to record harp in this song. We need to do this, that. So it's like, right now, there's only two more instruments, then mixing, and then it's done. So, yes, we're on the right track.
Is it tough for you to walk away from a song and say, okay, this is done, no more changes?
You know, sometimes it is hard, but sometimes I'm just like, I'm such a perfectionist. I always try to make it sound perfect. Whenever I hear, like, a little something that's a little bit off, I'm going crazy. But at some point it gets so tiring. Like, you get so sick of the song. You're just like, I want to just release it and forget that it exists. Like, I can't work on it anymore. So whenever I'm up at this point where I hate it and I can't work on it anymore, this is when I know, like, I need to drop it now. Like, I need to, it's done. Like, it's done. I can't fix anything.
It's tough too, because once you put it out there, that's it, you know?
Yes.
And that's when you might catch, oh, that one little thing that's going to drive you crazy, because I'm very much the same way with the show. I'll listen to this thing and be like, oh, why'd I ask that question? That was so stupid. Why'd I do that thing? I'm terrible.
The questions are great. I love them. I love talking. I love talking about music and art, so I'm enjoying this conversation to the fullest.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I also want to ask about the Art House Collective, because I've been reading about that. And this whole thing, so for the folks at home, this is a band, this is a recording studio, this is a venue, this is, like, everything rolled into one. How did this whole thing get started?
You can kind of divide it in two ways. One, the Art House Collective is a collective that does a lot of things, like live sessions, music videos, house shows, blah, 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 and the band. And I'm not the part of the band, but I am the part of the collective.
Ah, okay.
And, yes, so the band started out, like, a long time ago, not a long time ago, but, like, 2-3 years ago. And Misha Bogomolov, who's the guitar player in my band, actually is the leader of that band, which plays amazing music. And I'm a huge fan. I'm at every show, not just because they're my friends, but because I love their music. And you should definitely check them out. They're also going to be, you know, like, out with new music, maybe within, like, you know, next month or two. And the Art House Collective is something that, you know, lets other artists thrive. That's how I would probably put it. Is, you know, like, organizing house shows, not for just us to perform, but for other people to be able to perform there and, you know, just like share their music, live sessions for like other people. We haven't done a lot of live sessions. We are, hopefully are going to. And also like music videos, like Misha was filming a lot of music videos for different artists and for himself and for me. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. And, but yeah, it's just like a collective that hopefully brings people together and especially artists.
Oh, cool. Cool. It's just like a one-stop shop for artists. You can go to get your music video made. You can go play. You can do all kinds of stuff. This is so cool. Do you see yourself as still learning as an artist?
I feel like an artist should always grow. Like whenever you feel like you're like, I'm all set. You know, like I'm glad where I'm at. Like, I feel like that's it. That's the end of your career.
Sure.
But when you're just constantly growing, constantly changing, constantly getting better and learning. I mean, it's great if you stay in one style, like, you know, that means it's the same fan base, the same kind of, like, that means you found yourself. But if you're changing, you know, with like every record, every song, every performance, I think that's cool too, because that means you're looking, you know, like for yourself and your place and where you feel most comfortable in at, like all this stuff. So I'm definitely still learning and still changing and still growing. I don't think I ever will stop.
Well, what would you say is the best lesson you've gotten while at Berklee?
I think one of the best classes I've ever had was definitely like directed study and songwriting, when it's like a one-on-one with the professor. Mm. And he motivated me so much. Like, I feel like I just did so much more this summer than I've done in 3 years. And it was all because of him. He was the one who was like, okay, like, what's your biggest goal? And now build this, you know, like staircase to that goal. So I did. And I kind of like, you know, over the summer, I performed the first time, I've released my first original song, and I've started working, like, I've recorded instruments for my record and wrote my own arrangements and started, like, you know, like, all this stuff. I've performed at radio, like, at podcasts, and it's just, you know, like, started reaching out to people, and it was all mostly because of him and how he just kind of made me feel way more confident. He's like, what's stopping you from, like, doing all of this? You're saying you want to play the Gillette Stadium, but if you're not going to play, like, the East, you're probably never gonna get there. So what's stopping you from like playing the Middle East? And if you can't get there, what's stopping you from playing that house show that you got invited to like a million times and you were always like, oh, I'm not prepared, I'm busy. So like, go and do it and say yes to every opportunity. And I'm very, very thankful for these words that he said back then.
Say yes to every opportunity, I think, are lessons
absolutely
to live
definitely.
By Whatever yes. you do, whether you do music, you write, whatever you do, say yes to every opportunity,
yes.
because you never know where it's gonna take you. Well, Lena, it's been absolutely awesome talking to you. I cannot wait to hear the album.
Yes, same.
Do you have
Thank you so
do you
much.
Have a release date? Do you have anything in mind?
I don't have a set release date.
Okay.
Hopefully it's going to be out by the end of this year. Imagination, the song about the same guy, who actually just passed me like 10 minutes ago. And I was like, so I think
Sup?
The question, there's probably going to be some questions with me like staring at the wall and being like, yeah. This song is hopefully going to be out in about a month. We're done with the recording. Now it's just the production and the mixing. So that song is going to be out, and there's like a lot of stuff to come, because at least 5 songs of the album are like ready, mm-hmm. like mixed, mastered ready. So it's getting there. Maybe some singles will drop before the end of the year. Hopefully the record will be out by December. So yes, hopefully it's all going to be out soon.
Excellent. Yes. And for the folks at home, you go to LenaCooper.com.
LinaCooper.com, super easy. Yeah,
yep.
LINA and Cooper, like Mini Cooper, COOPER.com, super easy, yeah.
And Facebook?
Same for Instagram, Lena_Cooper. Facebook, LinaCooper, same thing. YouTube, Lena Cooper, everywhere, the same name. Not a lot of Lena out there.
She's everywhere, folks. She's all over the place. Well, Lena, again, thank you so much. I've enjoyed this conversation thoroughly and cannot wait to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you so much for such a wonderful conversation evening.
This is your girl, Lady V, host of The V-Line, and you're listening to Citywide Blackout.
All right, folks, that brings this week's show to a close. I want to thank my guest, Lena Cooper, for joining me. You can learn more about her at lenacooper.com. And thanking you, the listeners, for tuning in each and every week. Don't forget, you can listen to me on Podbean, TuneIn, iTunes. You follow me on Facebook under Citywide Blackout, Twitter, Instagram, Citywide Max, or my homepage at citywideblackout.blogspot.com. Before I go, I've got two songs for you, both from Lena. The first one's called Goodyear, followed by Ethereal. As always, keep those ears open.
Makes me wanna sin. Oh, 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 oh. white t-shirt and jeans so good on him. Shoulder so wide and posture so slim, just like he walked out of a Superman film. Heartbeat speed, your love keeps me in oblivion. Tell me, do you ever think about it? Please don't pull me back to the ground. This love feels so ethereal. Can you hear me? Do you feel it? 'Cause you are so. Like a low artwork, this Hercules figure will get every girl. Uh-oh, uh-oh, his voice so deep and mellifluous. His speech drives me delirious. So how can anyone be so gorgeous? Uh-oh, uh-oh, and he kisses my neck with his velvet lips. And I lose my mind with his hips on my hips. He leaves me speechless every time. Is he even mine? I whisper. Your heart is feed, your love keeps me in oblivion. Tell me, do you ever think about it? Please don't pull me back to the ground. This love feels so ethereal. Can you hear me? Do you feel it? 'Cause you are so.
Same as I've